نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقال رسول فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نساؤكم حرث لكم فأتوا حرثكم أنما شئتم وقدموا لأنفسكم واتقوا الله واعلموا أنكم ملاقوه وبشر المؤمنين صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم الله سبحانه وتعالى says in the glorious Quran وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ and send forth for yourselves good deed in the hereafter. This worldly life is temporary. And the life hereafter is everlasting. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ Engage in khair, engage in goodness. Abstain from shar, stay away from evil. And accumulate as much good as possible and send it before you in the hereafter so that when you depart from this world you are able to benefit from this good that you have accumulated and you have sent forth in the hereafter. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ And fear the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Create a barrier between yourselves and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Create a wiqaya, a barrier, a shield, a wall, a curtain, a partition between yourself and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ مُلَاقُوهُ Believe from the depth of your heart that one day you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given three instructions. One is accumulate good and send it in the hereafter before you leave this world and go into the hereafter. Number two, create a barrier between yourselves and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, always believe, always remember, always know that a day is definitely going to come when you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, give glad tidings to the believers. Give glad tidings to the believers. Those believers who are complete believers, not incomplete believers. Give glad tidings to the complete believers who remember that one day I am going to die and I am going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result they create a partition between themselves and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result they stay away from shar, they accumulate khair and send it in the hereafter. Now a question arises in our minds here, is that before these three instructions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is discussing certain rules regarding the relationship between husband and wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions certain rules regarding cohabitation, the intimate relationship of a wife and a husband. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذًى فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَدْخُلْنَ فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَ فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ. And finally, نِسَاؤُكُمْ حَرْثٌ لَكُمْ فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّى شِئْتُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning rules pertaining to the intimate relationship between husband and wife. And suddenly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. Two complete different topics. Cohabitation, which is associated with this worldly life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within the same ayah, this is not a new ayah, within the same ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that accumulate khair, accumulate goodness, accumulate reward by abstaining from shar, by abstaining from wrong and by abstaining from evil and carrying out good, and send it in the hereafter before you depart from this world. What is the connection between the two verses or the two topics? The connection between the two topics is that when a person gets married, especially in the initial stages, he tends to forget the purpose of his creation. So our Sharia guides a person in every aspect of his life, including marriage. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the rules of cohabitation. And knowing the human nature, that after marriage, wife, husband, both may become neglectful of the purpose of the creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them that these are the rules of cohabitation. But cohabitation is not the objective of life. The objective of life is to prepare for the life hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the husband and the wife that وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. Whilst enjoying a blissful marriage, remember that you have to accumulate as much khair as possible and send it in the hereafter, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may grant you a blissful life in the everlasting hereafter. وَقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Whatever good you send forth in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after you depart from this world, you will find that khair in the hereafter. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. Even a particle of khair, a very small and insignificant khair, you will find it in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So send as much good as possible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging the bride and the bridegroom, the husband and the wife, to not forget the life hereafter. Do not become neglectful of the life hereafter, the purpose of our creation. and accumulate as much khair as possible. Even in their married life, they need to fulfill the rights of each other. And whilst enjoying the bliss of marriage, they need to make sure that they remain within the limits of Sharia. They do not exceed the limits of Sharia. And they learn from the ulama, they acquire ilm, and they understand the limits of Sharia as far as enjoyment is concerned. They understand the limits of Sharia as far as a married life is concerned. And they understand the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also the rights of the Creator. They understand the rights of the wife, they understand the rights of the husband, they understand the rights of the in-laws, they understand the rights of their parents, they understand the rights of the Creator. And after acquiring ilm and understanding the rights of the Creator and rights of the creation, they remain within the boundaries set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and enjoy a blissful married life, remembering that one day I will have to depart from this world, so while sending as much khair as possible in the hereafter. وَقَدِّمُوا لِيَنْفُسِهِ. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a second instruction. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَقَدِّمُوا لِيَنْفُسِكُمْ. Accumulate as much khair as possible and prepare for the life hereafter. The question arises as to how. So the answer is وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. By creating a barrier between yourselves and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Create a barrier between yourself and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Non-performance of salat is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So create a barrier between yourself and the non-performance of salat. Not fasting is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So create a barrier between yourselves and not fasting. Not giving zakah is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So create a barrier between yourself and not giving zakah. Evil glance is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Create a barrier between yourselves and evil glance. Create a barrier. This barrier is known as taqwa. And what is taqwa? Taqwa is the condition of the heart. When the heart is enlightened with the noor of taqwa, a person will never be able to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the glorious Quran, wherever He says, ittaqullah, 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 create a barrier between yourselves and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever He says this, He implies that go through the process of tazkiyah. Purify your heart by associating yourself with the ulama and the mashayikh. By benefiting as much as possible from the ulama and the mashayikh. And by benefiting from the ulama and the mashayikh, purify your heart. And when you purify your heart will become pure. Pure. And once the heart becomes pure, one of the qualities that the heart will acquire will be the quality of taqwa. And once a heart acquires the quality of taqwa, then a person cannot incline towards sin. Neither major nor minor. So we need to associate ourselves with the ulama. Ulama. At least once a week, please, I urge all of you, at least once a week, find an alim towards whom you find inclination in your heart from the ulama-i haqqa. Any alim, young, old, senior, junior, as long as he is an alim who belongs to the group of the truthful ulama, the ulama whose aqidah is firm, whose aqidah is correct, whose ideology is correct, whose thinking is correct, and to a certain extent his life is also according to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From what you can see in his life, alhamdulillah, he is adhering to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as far as fara'id is concerned, as far as wajibat is concerned. Alhamdulillah, he is a good Muslim. He is a practicing alim. So from amongst this group, any alim that you are inclined to, if he holds a program in a masjid, please attend at least once. And go with the intention of purifying your heart. Go in the company of the alim with the intention of purifying your heart, that I want to learn as much as possible from him and I want to practice. And with this, connect yourself to a shaykh from Mashayikh Haqqa, from the Mashayikh of Truth. Affiliate yourself, associate yourself, hand yourself over to him, and whatever you learn from the alim, try to practice. And if you are unable to practice because shaitan and nafs is far more stronger than your resolution, then that is where you turn to your shaykh and say, I am finding this difficult. So the shaykh will guide you. So you will get the guidance from the ulama. The ulama will show you the path. And the shaykh will practically teach you how to practice what the ulama are guiding you to do. So once we sit in the company of the ulama and once we associate ourselves to a shaykh from the Mashayikh Haqqa and we keep in touch with both groups, the ulama and Mashayikh, sometimes you may need only one person, he is alim and also a shaykh. And sometimes for ilm you may be inclined to a particular person and for your islam, for your rectification, you may be inclined to another person, so then you will need two people, a shaykh and an alim. Remain firm with these two groups, ulama and mashayikh, and go in their company with the intention of soul purification. I want to purify my heart. I want to clean my heart from debasing qualities. And I want to adorn my heart with good qualities, with praiseworthy qualities. I don't want jealousy in my heart. I don't want pride in my heart. I don't want riya, show, ostentation in my heart. I want my heart to be pure of debasing qualities. And what do I want in my heart? I want love for people. I want to have love for each and every person in my heart. I want to have humbleness in my heart. I want to feel humble. I want to feel humble. These qualities can only come in our lives, my friends, if we associate ourselves with the ulama and the mashayikh. So what we need to do is to prepare for the life hereafter by accumulating as much khair as possible and abstaining from as much shar as possible and sending forth whatever good we do in the hereafter. And that we will only be able to do if we are able to create a barrier between ourselves and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this barrier is known as taqwa. And taqwa is the condition of the heart, that the heart, this inclines from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and inclines towards obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this can only happen if our soul, our heart is purified. And the heart and the soul can only be purified if we associate ourselves with the ulama-i haqqa and the mashayikh-i haqqa with the intention, with the zeal to purify our hearts. And we listen very carefully to what they have to say and we follow the instructions. So we will only be able to make preparations for the hereafter by sending as much good as possible in the hereafter, as much as possible by staying away from shar if we have taqwa. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا أَكْوَايَ التَّقْوَى. Create a barrier between yourself and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how can we do that? We will only be able to do that if we associate ourselves with the ulama and the mashayikh and purify our hearts. But in this busy life or lazy life, it's very difficult to go to the ulama, very difficult to go to the mashayikh, very difficult to learn from the ulama, very difficult to affiliate to a shaykh, or if we are affiliated to a shaykh, then put our condition to the shaykh that I have learned from ulama, that this is what I should be doing, this is what I shouldn't be doing, but I can't, I'm trying but I can't, so please can you guide me? And then whatever instruction the Shaykh gives, we follow that. It's very difficult. So how do we do that? Allah further gives another instruction. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ مُلَاقُوا. Continually remind yourself that a day is going to come when you will have to meet the Creator. If you continually remind yourself that a day is going to come when you will be meeting the Creator, then busy life or lazy life will not prevent you from going to the ulama and benefiting from them, and going to the mashayikh and benefiting from them. Because a person will worry. Allah has created this nature in human, that whenever he sees danger, then busy, lazy, everything is, I'm very busy, I've got no time, I'm very busy, no time, I'm very busy, no time. With this busy life, if the doctor says you are suffering from cancer, and you will have to come every day to the hospital for the next 1 month, otherwise you will die. With the same busy life, he will go to the hospital. Lazy person will also, if the doctor says that if you don't go for a walk every day for 3/4 of an hour, every day in the morning, brisk walk, you will die in 1 month, you will die in 6 months, you will have a heart attack. Even with lazy life, he will start walking. Allah has created this nature in human. That when he fears something, when he fears that this will happen, this might happen, this could happen, he will do anything to save himself from this danger. So Allah is saying that continually remind yourself that one day you will have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing in his court, and you will have to answer for whatever you are doing in this world. So if you don't create a barrier between yourself and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will disobey Allah. And if you disobey Allah, how will you answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ مُلَاقُوا. Always remind yourself, remember, believe that one day I am going to die and I will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to do that, go and visit the graveyard every week. In order to do that, read books written by the ulama on the topic of death, like Remembrance of Death, written by Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Remind yourself, talk about death. When you remind yourself that one day you will die, one day you will leave this world and you will face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will put in your heart the worry and the concern to create a barrier between yourselves and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result you will worry about tazkiyah, hence you will go to the ulama and you will also go to the mashayikh, and as a result you will stay away from shar, you will accumulate as much khair as possible, and you will send it forth. And when that happens, you become a complete mu'min. And when you become a complete mu'min, there is nothing for you but glad tidings in this world and also in the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Give glad tidings to the believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to follow these beautiful advices given to us by our merciful Creator. And there is no better time to make a U-turn in life than this time. This time we are in the second half of Shaban and Ramzan is dawning upon us. There is no better time, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have given you the month of Ramadan so that by utilizing the moments of Ramadan, you can acquire this quality of taqwa. This is the speciality of Ramadan. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. Why have I made a fast compulsory upon you? Why have I given you the month of Ramadan? La'allakum tattaqoon. So that you may create a barrier between yourselves and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My late mentor, Shaykh Haji Muhammad Farooq Sahib, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, once said to me in Haram Sharif that, my son, say to Allah in the month of Ramadan. He said, my son, say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan that, oh Allah, you have made this month so that we may create a barrier between ourselves and your disobedience. Please, please help me. Help me so that I may be able to create that barrier during this month. And whilst making this dua, strive. Spend each and every moment of Ramadan in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make a firm resolution that from now on we will not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we may not live till Ramadan. And if we live till Ramadan, may Allah keep us alive till Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the barakat of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to utilize each and every moment of Ramadan. And let us make a firm resolution that this Ramadan will be a memorable Ramadan. This Ramadan will be a memorable Ramadan. When we are granted entry into Jannah, and when we will look back at our lives, we will say, it was the Ramadan of 2019 which changed my life, and as a result of which I am entering Jannah. Let us make a firm resolution that from the first of Ramadan, from the time the crescent is sighted until the end of Ramadan, we will neither disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nor will we waste a single moment. We will try to spend as much time as possible in masjid. And we will not abstain from eating, drinking and cohabiting only during the day. We will abstain from eating, drinking, cohabiting and also disobedience to Allah. And this fast will remain from Subha Sadiq, from dawn until sunset. But abstaining from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this fast will continue until the 30th of Ramadan, and inshallah until we breathe our last. Abstaining from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if overcome by nafs, overcome by shaitan, out of Ramadan, in Ramadan, despite all our efforts, if we slip, if we make a mistake, then we will not wait for next Ramadan, we will not wait for tomorrow, we will not wait for Shab-e-Barat or Shab-e-Qadr, we will not wait for Umrah or Hajj, we will not wait for the day of Jumu'ah, we will not wait to go to the masjid. No, as soon as we realize that I have made an error, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. We will remember Allah and we will say, oh Allah, forgive me, I have made an error. We will ask Allah for forgiveness. Beseech Him and ask Him for help that we may be able to remain steadfast on taqwa. This cycle should continue even if taqwa breaks 100 times during the day, during a day, 1,000 times during a day. Every time taqwa breaks, the shield that prevents us from disobedience to Allah, we will immediately repair that shield through tawbah. And it doesn't take long. Tawbah takes a few seconds only, a few moments only. We will regret, we turn to Allah and make a firm resolution that I will not commit this sin again. Jo naakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi. Jo naakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi. That person who fails throughout his life. He makes tawbah, he fails again. 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 Even if we fail 1,000 times, 100,000 times, 1,000,000 times, what other choice do we have but to repent again? Is there any other choice? We are the lovers of Allah. And whenever we disobey, we disconnect ourselves from our beloved. So when we disconnect ourselves from our beloved, in order to reconnect again, we have to make tawbah. So we have no choice. Jo naakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi, bahar hal koshish to aashiq na chode. The person who fails throughout his life, at least until he breathes his last, he should continue his efforts. And he should prove to Allah that, oh Allah, although I am a failure, but you know that until my last breath I kept on trying. Every time I broke tawbah, I repaired it again. Every time I broke taqwa, I repaired it again. Jo naakam hota rahe umar bhar bhi, bahar hal koshish to aashiq na chode. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe. This connection of love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should remain at all times. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe. If it breaks 100 times, we should join it 100 times through tawbah. Ye rishta muhabbat ka qaim hi rakhe. Jo 100 baar toote to 100 baar jode. My friends, leave from here with a firm resolution that inshallah, We will strive. We will sit in the company of the ulama. We will associate with the mashayikh. We will try our utmost to abstain from disobedience to Allah. If disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is committed, we will repent immediately. Even if we have to repent 1,000,000 times, 1,000,000,000 times, 1,000,000,000,000 times, we will not give up. And we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one of His special friends on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this coming Ramadan a memorable Ramadan for all of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as He has united here, united us here today in the masjid, one day unite us in Jannah to Firdaus with the Anbiya, the Siddiqin, the Shuhada and the Salihin. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant immense barakah in the nikah that is taking place. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create a very strong bond of love between the bride and the bridegroom. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the tawfiq to fulfill each other's rights. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this union a means of progressing more in deen and also khidmat of deen. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إن أعظم النكاح بركة أيسره مكونة، وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. جناب محمد سعید احمد صاحب، آپ سلمہ بیگم احمد کی طرف سے وکیل ہیں کہ آپ نے اپنی وکالت سے مسلمانوں کی اس مجلس کے روبرو سلمہ بیگم احمد کی ذات کو مولانا محمد امیر الحق صاحب کے نکاح میں بعوض 647 پاؤنڈ دیا. بیٹا، امیر الحق محمد سعید احمد صاحب نے سلمہ بیگم احمد کی ذات کو آپ کے نکاح میں بعوض 647 پاؤنڈ نقد مہر دیا. کیا آپ نے اسے اپنے نکاح میں قبول کیا؟ بارک اللہ لکم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم بارك لنا فيما أعطيتنا وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت لنا. اللهم بارك لهم فيما رزقتهم واغفر لهم وارحمهم. اللهم ألف بينهما كما ألفت بين الصالحين والصالحات، وكما ألفت بين الطيبين والطيبات. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. رحم کا، کرم کا، یسر و سہولت کا، عفو و عافیت کا، فضل و عنایت کا، حفظ و امان کا معاملہ فرما. ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما. صراط مستقیم پر چلنے کی، جمنے کی، دوسروں کو چلانے کی، جمانے کی توفیق عطا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین، ہم سب کو زندگی کے ایک ایک لمحے کی قدردانی کی توفیق عطا فرما، بالخصوص رمضان مبارک کے مبارک ایام کے لمحات کی قدردانی کی توفیق عطا فرما. الہ العالمین، برائیوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما، الہ العالمین اچھائیوں کی رغبت نصیب فرمائے، الہ العالمین ہم سب کو کامل مؤمنین میں شامل فرمائے، اولیاء کاملین میں شامل فرمائے، الہ العالمین جب تک زندہ رکھے فرما برداری پر زندہ رکھے، الہ العالمین جب موت نصیب ہو اس وقت الہ العالمین مقام صدیقیت والا حسن خاتمہ نصیب فرمائے، الہ العالمین آج کے اس نکاح میں خوب خیر و برکت پیدا فرمائے، الہ العالمین دلہا دلہن کو شر سے، مکروہ سے، آفت سے، بلیات سے، حاسدین کے حسد سے، شریروں کے شر سے، مفسدین کے فساد سے، جادو جنات شیاطین کے اثرات سے محفوظ فرمائے، الہ العالمین آپس میں ان دونوں کو خوب محبت عطا فرما، مودت عطا فرما، الفت نصیب فرما، انس نصیب فرما، ایک دوسرے کے حقوق کی ادائیگی کی ان کو توفیق عطا فرما، اے ارحم الراحمین اس نکاح کو خیر کے وجود میں آنے کا ذریعہ بنا، دین کی تکمیل کا ذریعہ بنا، الہ العالمین خدمت دین کے وجود میں آنے کا ذریعہ بنا، الہ العالمین اولاد صالح کے وجود میں آنے کا ذریعہ بنا، الہ العالمین گناہوں سے بچنے کا ذریعہ بنا، الہ العالمین تکثیر امت کا ذریعہ بنا، اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ہمیں مقبول بندوں میں شامل فرما، الہ العالمین الہ العالمین الہ العالمین آپ کے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے مانگی ہوئی ہر خیر عطا فرما، جن شرور سے پناہ مانگی تھی ان شرور سے پناہ عطا فرما، الہ العالمین دلہا دلہن کو آپ کے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم کے بتلائے ہوئے طریقے کے مطابق چلنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، ایک دوسرے کے حقوق کی ادائیگی کی توفیق عطا فرما، دلہاؤں اور دلہنوں کے جو جو اچھے اچھے اوصاف بیان کیے گئے ہیں ان سے ان کو متصف فرما، نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے دلہاؤں کے لیے دلہنوں کے لیے اپنی حیات مبارکہ میں جو جو دعائیں فرمائی ہیں ان سب سے ان سے ان کو سرفراز فرما، یہ ارحم الراحمین جن جن بھائیوں نے بہنوں نے ہمیں دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے لکھا ہے، جو ہم سے متوقع ہیں، جن کا ہم پر حق بنتا ہے، جو ہم سے تعلق رکھتے ہیں، خصوصاً ہمارے ماں باپ، اساتذہ، مشائخ، دوست احباب، حاضرین مجلس، شرکاء مجلس، محبین، محسنین، سب کے تمام جائز دین مقاصد کو پورا فرما، الہ العالمین پورے عالم میں رحمتوں کو عام فرما، ہدایتوں کو عام فرما، برکتوں کو عام فرما، الہ العالمین آپ کے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی مانگی ہوئی ہر خیر عطا فرما، جن شرور سے پناہ مانگی ان شرور سے پناہ عطا فرما، جو کہا گیا سنا گیا اس پر ہم سب کو عمل کی توفیق عطا فرما، ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم، رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين، اللهم انا نسالك في سفرنا هذا البر والتقوى ومن العمل ما ترضى، سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، واخر دعوانا.